स्यादौ कुर्वन् गीतामृतं ददौ लोकत्रयोपकाराय तस्मै कृष्णात्मने नमः। हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम बैक टू अवर गीता भक्ति शास्त्री कोर्स। वी आर इन द सेवन चैप्टर डिस्कसिंग द सेकंड सेक्शन ऑफ पीपल हु सरेंडर टू कृष्णा, दोज हु डू नॉट सरेंडर टू कृष्णा एंड दोज हु सरेंडर टू समथिंग अदर देन कृष्णा। सो 7.14 talks about how we should surrender to Krishna, and then we'll go beyond Maya. 7.15 talks about the four categories of people who do not surrender to Krishna. And then 7.16 to 19 talks about the four categories of people who start worshipping Krishna and eventually they surrender to Krishna. So from 7.16 talks about Bhajante, and from Bhajante the progression moves onwards, and then it comes in 7.19 to Prapadyante, to surrender. So they become one pointed in that devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So let us discuss that now. So 7.19 is Bahunam Janmana Amante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. So Bahunam Janmana Amante, after many lifetimes, Jnanavan. When the person becomes Jnanavan, Mam Prapadyate, they surrender to me. What is their understanding when they surrender to me? Vasudeva Sarvamiti. They understand that Lord Vasudev is everything. There is no reality higher than Lord Vasudev. So Mahatma, to such great souls, Sudurlabha, they are extremely rare. So here Krishna is talking about a progression from one level of reality to higher levels of reality. So Bahunam Janmanam Ante, after many, many lifetimes. So what is he referring to? He's referring to the four categories of people who came to him in 7.16. So those are people who start doing Bhajante. Now Bhajante to Prapadyate, it is a progression which can take several lifetimes, depending on the intensity of the practice. There are many people who may do bhakti as a casual activity within the journey of their lives. But beyond that, there is bhakti which can be performed at a much more serious, much more intense and single-pointed level. So that is the kind of bhakti which Krishna is talking about over here when he talks about Prapadyate. So Bahunam Janmanam Ante, that after many lifetimes one moves from the Bhajate to Prapadyate. Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. So now Krishna has talked about four categories of people: Artho, Jigyasur, Artharthi and Jnani. All four people are Sukritina. All four people are having pious credits. What is this pious credits referring to? This actually refers to spiritual pious credits, in the sense that they have done some kind of bhakti in some way. Not directly bhakti by knowing that it is bhakti, but some ajnat sukriti they have done, which is conducive to bhakti. That means they have, while doing gardening, watered tulsi, or while doing some service, given some prasad to people, or rendered some seva to Vaishnava. While giving charity in general, they give some charity for Krishna's cause also. So they are not doing consciously thinking that this is devotional service. They do it without a conscious understanding. But they somehow engage, connect with Krishna. So that sort of Sukriti helps them. And then the Sukriti brings them to Krishna and they start serving Krishna. They are doing bhajati. But after many lifetimes, then they understand something, because of which they don't remain connecting with Krishna and serving Krishna occasionally. When they understand this, then they start Krishna serving Krishna constantly. So Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. Now what is the conception that enables us to make them Prapadyate? Vasudeva Sarvamiti. That Vasudeva is everything. So Mahatma Sudurlabha, such great souls are extremely rare. durlabha. Mahatma su durlabha. Durlabha is very difficult, su, very rare. And su durlabha is extremely rare. Now it's interesting. Krishna says they understand Vasudeva is everything. That means that they understand that there is no reality beyond Vasudeva. What Krishna has himself told in 7.7 in the same chapter, Mattaha parataram na anyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. They understand this, that there is no reality higher than Krishna. And because of it, they surrender to Krishna. When they surrender to Krishna thus, what happens? Vasudeva is sarvamiti. So when they surrender like this to Krishna, they become purified. They become elevated. And gradually, they become completely fixed in their worship of Krishna. That is prapadyate. It's interesting that although they understand Vasudeva to be sarvam, this is not pantheistic. Pantheistic, as you remember, we discussed it, is everything is God. So although they understand Vasudeva is everything, that doesn't mean that they surrender to everything. They surrender to Vasudeva. So Vasudeva sarvamiti means God is Vasudeva is everything, but everything is not Vasudeva. But Vasudeva is everything means, yes, Vasudeva is manifest everywhere, Vasudeva is accessible everywhere. But it is not that everything is everything and everywhere, everything is just Vasudeva. Vasudeva has his own self-existence and self-glory in the spiritual world, where he is manifest in his transcendental eternal personality. So, they don't surrender to everything, but they surrender to Vasudeva. When Hiranyakashipu asks Prahlad, where is your Vishnu? So, he says, Khadga Prarya, with my Khadga, I am going to kill you. Let us see if your Vishnu comes and protects you. Is he where? Is he everywhere? Is he in this pillar? So, he says, yes, Vishnu is everywhere. He's in this pillar also. And then, Hiranyakashipu assaults that pillar. And then, what happens is, Narasimhadev emerges from there. Now, when Narasimhadev emerges from the pillar, Prahlad Maharaj doesn't offer obeisances to the pillar. He offers obeisances, he offers prayers, he offers garland to Narasimhadev. So yes, the pillar can also be respected because it is the place from which Lord Narasimhadev manifested. But the pillar itself is not the ultimate object of worship. Because it is connected with Krishna, so it also becomes sacred. But it is not in and of itself the ultimate object of worship. Everything connected with Krishna, especially if Krishna has performed some pastimes in connection with that, that is sacred and that is worshipable. Although it's whatever is worshipable doesn't mean that that is the ultimate object of worship. See, worshipable can also mean that because of its connection with the Absolute Truth, it also becomes sacred. So, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, the person understands. The Gyanavan understands that Vasudeva is everything, but still the Gyanavan doesn't surrender to everything. Gyanavan surrenders to Vasudeva. Maam prapadyate, maam prapadyate. Surrenders to me. So Krishna is telling over here this very significant truth that from the point of approaching him to surrender him, it may take many lifetimes. Of course, if one practices bhakti seriously, then Tesham aham samadharta mati samsara sagara bhavami nachirat partha maya veshita chetasam. So in 12.7 in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will tell that aham samudharta, I will lift such people out of material existence. Who are these people? The people who are the spiritualists, those who are not just ordinary spiritualists, but those who fix their mind on him. And nachirat, not after a long time. So bhakti is like an elevator. It can take us rapidly up. Now here we've discussed that these people, they are not directly practicing bhakti. They are definitely approaching Krishna and we can say that is bhakti, but that is not Shuddha bhakti. So here when Krishna says Mahunam Janmanamante, he is referring to people who start approaching him, and from the point of your starting to approach him to the point of your completely to the point level of completely surrender to him, that may take time, that may take progression. And that progression is what is talked about over here in this verse. So let us look at Srila Prabhupada's purport here. Bahunam Janma Namante. So Prabhupada quotes the Purusha Sukta section from the Bhagavad, from the Shvetashatra Upanishad, the chapter 3 verses 14 and 15. And what does he say over here? इस सहस्र शीर्षा पुरुष सहस्राक्ष सहस्रपाद स भूमि विश्वतो वृत्वा त्यातिष्ठा दशांगुलम पुरुष एवेदम सर्वम यद्भूतम यश्च भव्यम उत्तामृता शेषासानो यद अनेनातिरोहति. सो हियर इज टॉकिंग अबाउट हाउ वन अंडरस्टैंड्स दैट एवरीथिंग इज वासुदेव. सो वासुदेव सर्वमिति Prabhupada says, such a, previously has explained, such a universal vision of Vasudeva precipitates one's full surrender to Supreme Lord Sri Krishna as the highest goal. So what is that universal vision? One understands that the Supreme Lord is Sahasraksha Sahasra Purusha, Sahasra Shirsha, Sahasraksha Sahasra Pa. So he has thousands of head, thousands of eyes, thousands of legs, like that. Dashangulam. So like that, that basically the point is this universal form is all pervading. This universal form is so great, so glorious that the glory pervades everywhere and in everything. And then further, how is that everything? So that is further described over here. Next verse of Chandogya Upanishad Prabhupada quotes, Navai Vacho, Chakshumshi, Shrotrani, Namanasa, Manamasi, आचक्षते प्राण इति एवाचक्षते प्राणो हि एवैतानि सर्वाणि भवन्ति. सो इन द लिविंग एंटिटी इन द बॉडी ऑफ लिविंग द पावर टू स्पीक द पावर टू सी द पावर टू हियर द पावर टू थिंक दीज आर नॉट सेंट्रल. इट इज एक्चुअली प्राण लाइफ दैट इज सेंट्रल एंड दैट प्राण अल्टीमेटली कम्स फ्रॉम कृष्णा. सो here this verse is explained, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Now, after explaining how one progressively comes from the worship of Krishna for some material motive to the worship of Krishna with a pure motive, that is how one progresses. So from there, now one starts thinking about, Krishna starts analyzing, how about those who do not reject him but who do not surrender to him? Who surrender to someone else. That he will describe in the section from 7.20 to 23. Kama istaistai rita jnana prapadyanti anya devataha tam tam niyamasthaya prakrityanyata svaya. So kama istaistai rita jnana kama is. Because of material desires, ritagyanaha, the intelligence, the knowledge has been destroyed, rita, abducted, removed, and prapadyante, so they are surrendering, but what is the surrender to? Prapadyante anya devataha, they are surrendering to somebody else, to some other devatas. Tam tam niyamamasthaya. So one follows the rules accordingly. Of the for the worship of tam tam niyamasthaya. What are the niyams? What are the rules that one follows? Prakrityanyata svaya. The rules that are according to one's own prakriti. So here, Krishna is explaining why do some people surrender not to him but to other devatas. So Prabhupada explains in this section in his commentary that actually. Some people say all gods are one. But Krishna is here clearly differentiating. Maam prapadyate and he says anya devataha. Those who surrender to other gods. So there is a categorical difference between the two which Krishna is mentioning over here. And that indicates that there are different gods. And they are not all of them are one. They are all different. So, when one understands this, then one understands very clearly that it's all paths are not one, all gods are not one. That there is the Supreme Lord and there is the other devatas. Kama ista ista rita jnana prapadyante anya devata. It's a very clear word, anya devata, other gods. Tam tam niyamasthaya. Now one follows rules according to one's own nature. Prakritya niyata svaya. So here Krishna is referring to how there are Puranas within three modes. That this Puranas, they direct people to worship according to the propensities of the people, according to the level of consciousness of the people. So the Tamasic Puranas guide people to worship Shiva, the Rajasic Puranas guide people to worship Brahma, and Sattvic Puranas guide people to worship Vishnu. So Prakrityanyata Svaya. So the Vedic system is created in such a way that according to the level of people, people can worship and then they can become elevated. So this is the broad, we could say, encompassing nature of the Vedic system. It encompasses people from the lowest mode to the highest mode and provides them custom-made methods for elevation. Prakritya Niyata Svaya. So, okay, somebody is addicted to eating meat and drinking. Then, can such a person become religious? Now, we could say at the highest level of religion, such a person cannot become religious. But that doesn't mean that the person cannot at all become religious. Yes, for the practice of serious spiritual life, for the sake of attaining liberation, it's not easily possible for such a person to do that unless the person is ready to give it up. But if the person is not ready to give it up, that doesn't mean that the person has to suffer. Exile from the house of religion. You know, that person can still be accommodated within the house of religion. How is that? Then there are custom-made forms of religion, rules of religion, practices of religion, which that person can accept. So there is now, so the such people can offer mamsa to Kali, and then they can take mamsa. Such people can offer, they may offer bhang, they may take wine. If Lord Shiva drinks that, we also drink it like that. So now, this is allowed. We have discussed earlier the difference between a concession and a recommendation or an instruction. A recommendation or instruction means, I want you to do it, this is good, you should do it, or it is good if you do it. Instruction means you should do it. Recommendation means it's good if you do it. Concession means that you want to do it, I'll allow you to do it. So the concessions are given in this case for some people who are in those niche, who are at that level of consciousness. Prakrityanyata Svaya. Now we may say that actually in Kali Yuga also people are in lower modes. Then should people practice these tamasic modes of worship? Because most people are in Rajoguna, Tamoguna. How can they practice devotional service, which is actually meant for Lord Vishnu, which is meant for those who are in goodness? So actually here Krishna is talking about a normal system. If a pure devotee intervenes in the life of a person, if the devotional force comes, energy comes in the life of a person, then this normal system can be transcended also. Not transcended in terms of being rejected, but one can take the, instead of taking the gradual staircase, one can just take the swift elevator and move forward. So the difference between the two will depend on whether one gets access to the mercy of Krishna coming through a pure devotee and whether one accepts that mercy. So when one gets, is fortunate enough to get that mercy and to accept that mercy, then one can also move fast. So Prabhupada was so compassionate that he was able to elevate even the people who were in Tamoguna. They're like the hippies who used to drink and smoke and take drugs and do all sorts of terrible activities, anti-spiritual, anti-devotional activities. They were also elevated. That is the mercy of a pure devotee. But normally, we have to understand that bhakti is not always easily accessible. Even in the Vedic cultural context, bhakti is not always available. So, bhakti is always rare. So, when bhakti is not available for people, at that time, are they doomed to be irreligious? Are they doomed to be live materialistic, godless, sinful lives? No. The Vedic culture also creates a facility by which they can be gradually elevated. And that is the system of demigod worship. So we have discussed elaborately in our Isha Upanishad classes about demigod worship. We discussed about how the prodigal son story we expanded in the Vedic context. How when the son is not ready to return back to the father, and then the father sends a minister, and the minister gets the son who has gone out of the kingdom back into the kingdom. So getting the son back into the kingdom means that it's like the son has come back within the father's jurisdiction, although indirectly. So like that, and the son starts serving the father, like that through his intermediary, through a minister. And that is like the soul coming back to the house of the Vedas and serving Krishna indirectly, that is through devatas. So this Krishna will describe in the next verse. So Prabhupada's emphasis in the purport is kama istaistairita jnana, that their knowledge has been destroyed by kama. But then the Bhagavatam says, even if one has, Bhagavatam actually recommends the superior devotional service, but as we see in this verse, which Prabhupada would often quote 2.3.10 from the Bhagavatam, so akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo daradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yacheta purusham param. So even whatever desires one has, kama sarva kamo va, whatever desires one has, moksha kamo daradhi, one will become elevated and liberated if one just yacheta purusham param, if one worships the Supreme Lord. And how does one worship the Supreme Lord? Tivrena bhakti yogena, with intense bhakti. So if we just worship the Supreme Lord with intense bhakti, we can all become liberated. That is the glory here. Akama sarvakamo va mokshakama. Akama refers to one who has no material desires. Sarvakama, all kinds of material desires. Mokshakama, one who has the desire for liberation. So this is the Bhagavatam's recommendation ultimately, that whatever be one's level, let that person worship. But worship the Supreme Lord. But those who cannot understand this principle, they may worship the other devatas and they will also become elevated gradually. So Prabhupada's emphasis, actually there is no need for this. Again he quotes from the Ibn Charitamrita to establish Ekela Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Bhakti, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and he should be the supreme object of worship for us. So now let us look at the system of demigod worship and see what happens after this. Yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktaha shraddhaya architum icchati tasya tasya achalam shraddham tameva vidhamyaham. So yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktaha. So whatever tanu refers to form, whatever form one feels attracted to, one desires to worship them, icchati is a desire, architum icchati, one desires to, architum is worship, icchati is desire. And how normally when we have to worship, how will we worship? There has to be some faith. So shraddhaya architum icchati, one desires to worship with shraddha, tasya tasya chalam shraddham. So he makes the Shraddha Achala. Achala means he makes the Shraddha unshakable. Tameva vidadhamyaham. I make that vidadhami. Vidadhami means I give strong faith. Achala Shraddha. So it's very significant here. That means here Krishna is explaining that he is so kind that he doesn't reject demigod worship directly. Nor does he reject the people who are demigod worshippers. He's concerned not with his own glorification, but he's concerned with others' elevation. Krishna is not concerned with his glorification, he's concerned with others' elevation, our elevation. And that's why, he, normally speaking, you know, if a boss is there in our office, you know, the boss wants everyone to know that I am the boss. And if somebody else comes along, and for example, there is a boss and there's a CEO and there's an assistant manager. And then somebody comes to the office and starts praising that assistant manager as if he's the CEO. The boss will become angry. How dare you? You know, you are so ignorant and he will get angry with both of them. You know, why are you glorifying, why are you praising like that? And he will get angry with the person who is accepting that praise also. But Krishna is not concerned like that. You know, yes, Krishna is happy when devotees glorify him. But he understands that the glorification is the expression of devotion. And that glorification is not flattery. That glorification is not centered on the ego. It is meant for the reciprocation of love. See, when we love someone, we appreciate that person. And naturally, when we appreciate, we glorify that person. So, like that, when we understand, then we move forward in our spiritual progression. When we move forward in the spiritual progression, then, actually speaking, what do you mean by we move forward in spiritual progression? We move forward in understanding the compassion of Krishna. Because sometimes devotees start doubting, you know, If Krishna is supreme, then why the Vedas talk about other devatas, and sometimes they talk about other devatas supreme also? Why are these things like that? When we understand the compassion of Krishna, then actually the system of demigod worship increases our faith in Krishna. It doesn't decrease our faith. Why? Because we understand how large-hearted Krishna is. How large-hearted. How is it? He's so large-hearted that he is not concerned whether people recognize my position or not, whether people glorify me or not. If they understand that and they do that, that is great. Because that is the way to ultimate liberation, that is the way to ultimate happiness, and that is the way to supreme fulfillment. But if they're not ready to do that, at least let them get elevated from the lower modes to the higher modes. Therefore, what Krishna does is, he gives the demigods the power. He gives the demigod worshippers the faith. So Krishna says, tasya tasya achalam shraddha. I make the shraddha achala. So, okay, you want to worship that particular devata? I will give you faith in that devata. And then by worshipping that devata, you will get elevated. Tasya tasya achalam shraddham. So I give faith and I elevate. I facilitate the elevation. Tameva vidhamyaham, vidhamyaham. So I give it. So Krishna is present in the super soul in the heart. And from the super soul, he's a super soul. Okay, he sees, okay, you desire to worship this particular devata, I will give you the faith. And that way we understand Krishna's broad-mindedness. And a devotee appreciates this. Of course, a devotee doesn't himself or herself get involved in devotee god worship. When we understand Krishna's glory, then we focus more on Krishna's glories, exclusively, singularly. But we appreciate the broad heart of Krishna. And that's what Krishna is revealing over here. That's why we'll see in this purport that in the translation, you know, Prabhupada starts with, I am in everyone's heart as a super soul. Now somebody may say there is no reference to anything like super soul in the verse. Now, there is no Paramatma, there is no Hruday. Where is Krishna talking about anything? So actually Prabhupada often integrates the translation, the purport, to illumine the translation better also. So sometimes when he wants to explain certain points to us, so for at that point, Prabhupada does such things so that our conceptions will become clearer. We won't get into an unnecessary misunderstandings. Tasya tasya achalam shraddham. So where is faith ultimately? Faith is a matter of the heart, and Krishna is present in the heart. And Prabhupada is pointing that Krishna is present in the heart. Krishna is the person who gives us faith. So, depending on our desires, whatever kind of faith we want, Krishna will give that kind of faith to us. So, he gives us faith in himself when we choose to develop faith in him. So, tameva vidadhamyaham. I give that faith to him. And after that, Krishna will describe further that Prabhupada explains this. A very significant point Prabhupada makes over here. People may ask why the all-powerful God gives facilities for the living entities for enjoying this material world and so lets them fall into the trap of the illusory energy. The answer is, Prabhupada says, that the Supreme Lord does not give such facilities, that there is no meaning to independence. So one such facility which the Lord gives for exercising the independence is the facility of demigod worship. So through the demigod system of demigod worship, also Krishna allows the living entity to turn towards him gradually by slowly but surely moving forwards. And so by worshipping in tamoguna, they will gradually rise from tamoguna to rajoguna and sattvaguna. So here Prabhupada explains that both the demigod and the entity are dependent on the supreme will. So here in this verse, Krishna has talked about how the living entity's faith is enhanced by the devata. And now he will talk about how the devata is also empowered by Krishna. Sataya shraddhaya yuktas tasyaradhanam ihate labhate jitatah kaman mayaiva vitanitan. So sataya shraddhaya yuktas, equipped with this faith, tasya aradhanam ihate, that person aradhanam. Aradhanam is the same as architam. The person worships, ihate, aspires, endeavors. So equipped with this faith, the person worshippers, and then the person worships, and then the person gets the result. Labhate chitataha kaman. the person gets the desires fulfilled. So kaman word is used same as in 8.20, 7.20, kama is taste rita jnana. So because of kama, one is doing this, and here labhate kaman, one gets the kama. And Krishna is telling, mayaiva vihitan hitan. It is actually by my mercy that he is getting it. Mayaiva vihitan. Actually, Krishna tells here that it is I who am the giver of result. Just as when a minister gives a salary to the prince, who is now, the prince has gone away from the father, and the father has brought him back to his kingdom, and the father has brought him back, but the prince is not ready to come back home. The prince is the king, the father is the king. The father puts him under a minister. When the minister gives some salary, gives some rewards to the prince, then at that time, who is ultimately giving it? It is Krishna who is giving. It is the king who is giving. So like that, when the devatas give some results, it's ultimately the Supreme Lord who is giving the results. It is not the devatas have independent power to give results. Devatas' powers are there, but their powers ultimately come from Krishna, from the Supreme Lord alone. And that is why if there is a confrontation between devatas and the Supreme Lord, then the devatas always fail, and they fail because they can't their power comes from Krishna. They can't confront and conquer Krishna, and that's why in the Bhagavatam we will see Brahmaji, Indra, all other devatas, whoever, Shiva, and other devatas, when they confront with Krishna, actually they are overcome. So this is the point of the whole passage. The point is that of this whole section is that it is their power is coming from Krishna. Mayaiva vihitan hitan. So whatever blessings anybody gives, that blessings comes from Krishna. So as we have discussed this elaborately in our Ishopanishad course, we will not go into this more in detail. But let's move forward now to understand the principle as it comes in the Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada explains again. For the living entity who desires to return to Godhead, material desires are impediments. Material desires are not impediments. So, a devotee doesn't get caught in such desires. A devotee focuses on glorifying Krishna and returning back to Krishna. Antavattu phalam tesham tadbhavati alpamedasam devan devayajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. Antavattu phalam tesham. The phala that one gets by the worship of the devatas is antavat, is temporary. Tadbhavati alpamedhasam. Actually, so who aspires for this? Those who are alpamedhasa. Medhasa is brain substance or intelligence, and alpa is little, less, scanty, not much. Those who have intelligence is very less. Devan devayajo yanti. So those who worship the devatas, they go to the devatas. Mat bhakta yanti maam api. And those who worship me, come back to me, Krishna is telling over here. So in this way, he is explaining the difference between different kinds of worship, different levels of worship. So antavat tufalam tesham. When one worships the devatas, actually, demigods are temporary, demigods' abodes are temporary. Demigods' benedictions are temporary, and the demigod worshippers, they themselves are temporary. Their souls are eternal. But whatever attainments they get, as long as they are existing at the material level, their existences themselves remain material, temporary. You know, our bodily existence is temporary. So the demigod worshippers, when they get elevated, what is the ultimate fruit that they can get? Demigod worshippers, the ultimate fruit that they can get is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, somehow they get elevated from demigod worship to the worship of the Supreme Lord. That is the ultimate blessing that they can get. And instead of being sakam, they become nishkam in the worship of the Supreme Lord. Or they are otherwise, at the material level, the benefit that they may get is, they may move from the worship of, move from materialistic consciousness to pious materialism. They may, and then they may go to the demigod abode where they will live with the demigods, but that is also not permanent. The demigods' abodes themselves are temporary, so even if they attain those abodes, they will be living temporarily only. And quite often they will not even attain those abodes. Because today, especially when people perform demigod worship, they don't do it with scriptural rules and regulations. So, tam tam niyam asthaya means there has to be niyam. And one has to asthaya, one has to follow those niyams faithfully, the rules faithfully. So, even the demigod worship has to be done according to rules and regulations. Now, the rules and regulations for demigod worship may be different from the rules and regulations for worship of other people. Sorry, a worship of the Supreme Lord. Or the worship of demigods, different demigods may have slightly different rules of worship. But there are rules nonetheless, and it's only when one follows the rules that one gets elevated. So today we have a demigod worship in India, for example, we may have worship of Ganesh. And in the worship of Ganesh, in the Pandal, people are having movie songs. So many people don't find anything objectionable in such a thing, because their whole idea is that the side of religious practice is they think that it's just one kind of entertainment. And okay, people are coming to Ganesh also for entertainment only, and people hear movie songs also for entertainment only. So what is the problem bringing two forms of entertainment together? But actually, it's a complete complete misunderstanding. The demigod worship also should be done for the glorification of the demigod. Ultimately, we should glorify only the Supreme Lord. But if you are worshipping the Devata, then we should glorify that Devata in the worship. The best way to glorify the Devata would be to glorify that Devata as a devotee of the Supreme Lord. So as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has written Chaitanya Charita, a set of verses called Shiva Ashtakam. So there he is glorifying Lord Shiva as a devotee of the Supreme Lord. But if one doesn't do that kind of glorification, then at least within demigod worship, one can glorify the demigod properly. Yes, as per the powers of the demigods. But today, even that is not done. The demigod's image might be there, but actually one is worshipping, one is only singing movie songs over there. And maybe in the morning or in the evening, when Marathi is there, little bit, some songs of the demigods, praising the demigods may be there. But even those songs are often sung by professional musicians who are singing not out of devotion, but they are singing because of the desire for profit. They are singing so that they can become famous. They can earn money. So that sort of worship of the devatas is not going to lead to much spiritual advancement. Actually speaking, by the worship of devatas, also even if it is done properly, there is only gradual spiritual advancement. When Krishna is saying that the worship of himself, if it is done with material motives, from there to come to pure surrender may take many lifetimes. And if somebody is doing worship of devatas with material motives, from there to come to Krishna worship may take a very long, much longer time. And that's why it's not a particularly encouraging or elevating. It's not something which as devotees we should encourage. Whenever we get the forum, we should speak. You don't have to hurt people's sentiments if they're doing demigod worship. But we can guide them. Many people are uninformed. And because they're uninformed, they just don't know that there's something wrong over here. So we can gently, but gravely, explain that how demigod, if at all somebody has to do demigod worship, then they should do demigod worship properly. The best way is by connecting the glorification of the demigod with the education, the position of the demigod as the Supreme Lord, as the servant of the Supreme Lord. But that's why Krishna is telling over here, it's not that all of this will lead to the same result. So if somebody is doing a worship of the Devata, it is not that by worshipping that Devata, the person will go back to Krishna. Okay. Very clearly Krishna is saying, Devan Deva Yajo Yanti. Those who worship the Devatas will go to Devatas. And Mad Bhakta Yanti Mamapi. Those who worship me will come back to me. And because attaining me is eternal attainment, attaining the abode of the Devatas is a temporary attainment, therefore the two cannot be equated. And as I said, Alpamedhasa, those who worship me are less intelligent. So now this Alpamedhasa can be contrasted with what was talked about in 7.19 at the start of this section, Jnanavan. So those who are Jnanavan, they surrender to me. Then Krishna says that Krishna continues the word of use of the word Jnana in the next verse in 7.20, and he says that karma is the rita jnana. So the knowledge has been stolen away. And somebody may say, okay, knowledge was stolen away by material desires. But they at least started worshipping the devatas. They did not get into sinful material, sinful activities for fulfillment of material desires. Yes, that is good. So therefore they have some medasa, but their medasa is alpa medasa. It's not very great. Because they are not aspiring for the eternal. They are aspiring for something temporary only. Devan devayajo yanti. So those who worship devatas will go to the devatas. And that's why it's essentially, you know, for a human being who is capable of attaining eternal result, seeking something temporary is selling oneself short. It is what? Selling oneself short. One could get so much something so much greater, but one chooses to settle for something such small, so small. We discussed if somebody is a student in an IIT and his IIT is a premier educational institute, and while being in IIT, the student doesn't think of how I can study and have a bright career. Student just thinks, where can I get the best food to eat? In the hostel, the mess is terrible. So what I'll do is I'll go around in the nearby, not just in the campus, outside also. Just whole day the person spends time only searching, where can I get the best food to eat? Well, if the goal is to eat food, one doesn't have to be in IIT. One can find food anywhere to eat. So if one has got the privilege of being in IIT, now we all need to eat. So eating is important. But eating is not all important. So it is just one part of life. The real purpose of being in IIT is to study and have a bright career. Similarly, you know, our life has a material side, and the material side's importance is not to be entirely rejected or neglected. But we have to understand also that the material side of the of life is not all important. Even the animals are taking care of the material side. So we have to rise to a higher level of understanding. We have to rise to the level of understanding that there is a spiritual side of our life, and that is what should be our primary focus. So when we understand that and focus on that, then we can attain an eternal result. As long as you're focusing on the material side, we will get only a temporary result. That's why alpamedasa. So after describing this, now Krishna will describe the second category. So what is going on in this section? Krishna is talking about those who surrender, those who do not surrender. So when he talks about those who do not surrender, he talks about those who do not surrender to him, those who surrender to something other than him, but which is connected with him. So that is the devatas. So now, apart from the devatas, somebody may also start worshipping the impersonal conception. For those kind of people, Krishna talks about in this verse now. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mava buddhayaha param bhava majananto mamavi manuttamam. So avyaktam vyaktimapannam. Avyaktam means which is unmanifest. Vyaktim apannam became manifest. So those who think that I was unmanifest earlier and I have become manifest now, avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mama buddhaya. Those who think like this, they are abuddhaya. Those who think about me like this, they are abuddhaya. Why are they abuddhaya? Because param bhava majananto, they do not know my supreme nature. And what is that supreme nature? Mama vemanuttamam. That I am avyayam, imperishable, and I am anuttamam, I am the finest. Uttama. Tama is darkness. Uttama is that which is beyond darkness. Uttama is also superlative glorification. Best. That is also used for the, we should describe Uttama. So, avyaktam vyaktim apannam. It was unmanifest before, but then one becomes manifest. So, that, now what is this talking about? This is referring to not just the impersonal conception in terms of Brahmavad, it's from impersonal conception in terms of Mayavad. We discuss the difference between Brahmavad and Mayavad is Brahmavadis are attracted to the impersonal conception, and they either don't know about the personal conception or they're not attracted to the personal conception because they're not associated with a devotee who has attraction to the personal conception. So these are the Brahmavadis. So they're not offensive. But Mayavadis are those who are not only attracted to the impersonal conception, but they also consider the personal conception to be transitional, to be temporary. In fact, they are considered the personal conception to be a convenient fiction. Convenient fiction means that they think that this is just a tool by which one can move from a lower level of reality to a higher level of reality. So because we are conditioned to think in terms of form, so we cannot think of the formless. And therefore, just think of some form and meditate on that form, and afterwards you can transcend that form. That is the conception. But that conception is, Krishna telling, those who think like this are abuddhayaha. So they are, abuddhaya means having no intelligence. Buddhayaha. Buddhi is intelligence, the prefix a actually acts as a contrast. So it acts as a prefix which negates what comes after that. Now when Krishna is describing abuddhaya, why is he saying so strongly about this? Because these are mayavadis who offend this form. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam. That means they think the actual eternal reality is the impersonal conception, that is Brahman. And temporarily that Brahman is manifested as Bhagavan. So what is their idea? That Brahman alone is transcendental. Now there are many brands of Mayavad. You know, when we use the word Mayavad, we use it like a rubber band, you know, expandable. And practically anybody and everybody who has some impersonal conception, we put all of them in the category of Mayavadis. Now that is not necessarily wrong, but nor is it entirely accurate. So we discussed the difference between Brahmavadis and Mayavadis. So those who are offensive, their idea is, I'll talk about one particular conception of Mayavad. Their idea, for example, is that the Brahman is the only reality. And Brahman alone is transcendental. And we know that there is Tattvatraya. There is Jagat, Jiva and Jagdish. So Jagdish is the Supreme Lord. Jiva is the living entity and Jagat is the material nature. So this is Tattvatraya. Jagat, Jeev and Jagdish, which is often talked about in the philosophical circle, in the Upanishads as well as elsewhere. So when these three are talked about, Jeev, Jagat and Jagdish, at that time, what is the focus of this discussion? What is the purpose of this discussion? The focus, the purpose of this discussion is a gradual ascent, that one understand these three categories and one understand that the Supreme Lord is the ultimate reality and all other are his energies which rest on him. This Krishna has talked about in the 7th chapter itself in verses 4, 5 and 6. Bhumirapo nalavayu and aparemitastvanyam. But the Mayavadi idea is that the Bhagavan, the Brahman alone is the ultimate reality. That Brahman alone is transcendental. And so this is different transcendence, this is goodness, passion and ignorance. So their idea is that when Brahman comes in contact with goodness, then what results is Jagdish. What results is what we call as Bhagavan. So that means Bhagavan is what? Bhagavan is Brahman contaminated by contact with matter in the form of goodness. And when Brahman comes in contact with the mode of passion, that leads to the formation of Jiva. So all of us are Brahman, but when Brahman comes in contact with passion, that leads to the formation of Jiva. And when Brahman comes in contact with ignorance, that leads to the formation of matter, jada tattva, that is Jagat. So their conception is that ultimately Bhagavan is also material. Everything is Brahman, but when Brahman is covered by different kinds of illusions, Brahman covered by sattvic illusion is Jagdish, Brahman covered by rajasic illusion is Jiva, Brahman covered by tamasic illusion is Jagat. So this is their idea. Now the problem with this idea is that actually it makes Bhagavan not transcendental, but it makes Bhagavan or Jagdish here in this context, in this particular terminology, as material. And time again, Krishna has categorically explained that he is not material. In the same chapter, Krishna has talked in 7.12 and 13, Matta ebeti tan viddhi natvaham te shute mai. So in 7.12 he has said that everything in the material world comes from the three modes, but these modes are on, they are in, I am, are in me, they are not in them. They are in me, I am not in them. ta eveti tan vidhi, they come from me. Natvaham, I am not in them. Natvaham, te shu te mai, they are in me. And again, the next standpoint, 13 also says, mamebhya paramamayam. So he's saying that everything is covered by the three modes, but I am transcendental to three modes. So in this way, Krishna's statement is very clear, very categorical. But unfortunately, the impersonalists, they make that Brahma Bhagavan who is transcendental to be material. And when they make him to be material, then they make Bhagavan, who is the indispensable ultimate truth, into a dispensable temporary tool. What do? They make the indispensable absolute truth into a dispensable temporary tool. How temporary tool? Their idea is that, okay, you can meditate on Bhagavan as long as you are not very intelligent, as long as you are not very evolved. So you can worship on, meditate on a form, and ultimately you have to go beyond form. So often these people, they may not even tell this reality initially. For general people, they say that, okay, for less intelligent people, they will tell about demigod worship, and for more intelligent people, then they will talk about something higher. No, it's not like that. Actually, even for more intelligent people and for less intelligent, bhakti is so all-encompassing that all kinds of people can take it up. So here we say, jnanavan vam prapadyate, that even the wise people surrender to him, and Krishna will talk about in the 9th chapter, in 32nd, 33rd verses, that even those who are low-born, mami partha vyapa shuttaye pisyu papa yonaya, sriyo vaishyas tha shudras, tepiyanti paramgatem, that even the low-born can become elevated and liberated. So, in that sense, actually, anybody and everybody can become elevated and liberated. So, there is no need to have this misconception, at least it's not scripturally based, the misconception that only those who are less intelligent, they should worship the personal aspect. So, this is not just a misconception, but it is a monstrous misconception. Why monstrous? Like a monstrous monster devours and destroys. So this is a monstrous misconception that devours and destroys our bhakti. Because materialism directs our love away from Krishna. But this sort of mayavad makes us think that giving up that love for Krishna is spiritual advancement. Materialism at least is put in the illusion that I am spiritually advanced. Materialism makes us feel less. Okay, forget about spiritual advancement. Material enjoyment will give me greater happiness. When we are practicing spiritual life, then we understand, okay, material enjoyment is not what it is made out to be. It is made out of such a big thing, but actually the pleasure is very temporary. So there has to be something higher in life. But that ultimate higher taste is the taste of bhakti. But when one starts worshipping the impersonal conception and a mayavadi misconception, then one starts thinking that bhakti is transitional, and going beyond the feelings of bhakti is actually supreme, and that is terrible. You know, that is a terrible misconception which deprives people of the higher taste of bhakti and ultimately leaves them with nothing. Why it leaves them with nothing? Because there is no tangible taste in contemplating on a formless reality. So, the conception of Brahman, which the impersonalists have, which the Mayavadis have, it is devoid of attributes, devoid of pastimes, devoid of reciprocation. And actually there is very little ecstasy in contemplating on that. And because of that, not getting a spiritual taste, people come back to material taste. That's why Srila Prabhupada writes in the first canto, first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that this impersonalism has actually led to increase in materialism in many ways. So, some Mayavadis have this idea, and we know there are five rasas. So, these five rasas are based on the progressive levels of intimacy. So, in the Shanta, there is distant revelation. And in progressively, as you move forward towards Madhurya, there is intense intimacy. So the Mayavadi, so these are all five are eternal rasas which are there in the spiritual world, and different devotees are these rasas. But the Mayavadis take the same hierarchy, and that which is eternal, they make it transitional. You say, initially when you are worshipping God, you think of an object as veneration. But when you advance further, then you understand that is the object of service. Then when you advance further, you go closer to God. Then you understand He's a friend, He's not just a master. Then when you go further, then you understand that actually God is not your parent. You have to care for God as you would care for your child. And then when you go further, then you understand that you care for God as if He is your most intimate beloved. And then when you go further, so each of these, we are going closer, closer, closer. In Shantaras, you are far away. Dasyaras, further close. Sakyaras, further close. Vatsalyas, closer. Madharas, closer. And then when you come closest, you become one with God. So actually, they think that the impersonal merging is higher than Madhurya also. So this is a terribly misunderstanding, because there is some joy in meditating on the absolute truth. It's called as Brahmananda. But that Brahmananda is nothing as compared to Bhaktiananda. So in the hierarchy, from negative axis, that is material enjoyment, the zero point is the impersonal realization. There is neither material happiness nor positive spiritual happiness. Then beyond that, as we move forward, and then there is the scale where the highest spiritual happiness comes in Madhuri Ras. But the impersonal is, what they do is, that which is at the bottom end of the spiritual hierarchy, they surreptitiously, clandestinely, by their misinterpretation, they place that at the highest level. So Brahman is the first level in spiritual realization. After that comes Paramatma, and Bhagavan is the highest. But they change the whole thing upside down, and they say Bhagavan is lower and Brahman is the highest. So the Brahmananda is the lowest, but they make the Brahmananda is higher than Madhurya also. And in this way, they completely make a mess of people's spiritual conceptions. And that's why Krishna says, Abuddhaya. Such people, they are having no intelligence. And Krishna will talk about their destination later in 9.13 and 14. At that time, we'll discuss further about this. But Param Bhavamaja Ananto, they do not know my transcendental nature. What is the transcendental nature? Krishna has talked it again and again and again in the Bhagavad Gita. Ajopi Sanavayatma, he has talked about it in 4.6. Janma Karma Chame Divyam, he says. These are not his form and activity, his appearance and activity, they are not mundane, they are transcendental. They are transcendental. So when one understands this, then one can actually take shelter of Krishna and then go beyond the impersonal reality to the personal reality. That is the ultimate goal of life. That is the ultimate perfection of life. So the impersonalists are also going to make some spiritual advancement if they are not offensive to the Supreme Lord. Yeah, so if they are offensive, then they can get into a lot of trouble in their spiritual progress. And they can create a lot of trouble for others also. So in this section, from 13 to 24, we have discussed why one should surrender to Krishna, and then those who surrender to Krishna. And then after that, two categories among those who surrender but not to Krishna. One is the devatas, those who surrender to devatas, and the other is those who go towards the impersonal conception. Now Krishna will talk about, he'll elaborate on the assurance given in 7.14, that by surrendering to Him, one goes beyond Maya. So how does that happen? How does surrender to Him take one beyond Maya will be the discussion of the last section, 25 to 30. That we'll discuss in our next class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.